This is Talk Is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ SSD, on KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. Okay, so at a press conference at the local Planned Parenthood here in Eugene, Senator Ron Wyden and U.S. Representative Deborah Ross announced the Fair Courts Act, legislation that makes it more difficult for litigants to seek out specific judges to guarantee their preferred outcome, and requires a panel of judges to preside over cases that seek nationwide relief. So he announced legislation that comes after judge shopping in Texas, Mifepristone ruling. All right, but first I have this from Francis Moore LePay. I don't tell women what to do, period, let alone what they do with their own bodies. So that's just an aside. But we've tried to make extreme abortion, anti-abortionists understand that if you really want less abortions, you need to provide social programs to people. And that's the quickest way to stop people from getting legal or illegal abortions. Women, rather. So coming up, the press conference at Planned Parenthood here in Eugene with U.S. Senator Ron Wyden and members of Planned Parenthood. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media. According to Francis Moore LePay, the powerlessness of the poor often leaves them little option but large families. Indeed, high birth rates among the poor can best be understood, we argue, as a defensive response against structures of power that fail to provide or actively block sources of security beyond the family. From this perspective, rapid population growth is a moral crisis because it reflects the widespread denial of essential human rights to survival resources, land, food, jobs, and the means to prevent pregnancy. Far-reaching economic and political change is necessary to reduce birth rates to replacement levels. Change must enhance the power of the poorest members of society, removing their need to cope with economic insecurity by giving birth to many children. Social arrangements beyond the family, jobs, health care, old age security, and education, especially for women, must offer both security and opportunity. Most important, the power of women must be augmented through expanded opportunities for both men and women. At the same time, limiting births must become a viable option by making safe and acceptable birth control devices universally available.
It gives me great pleasure to extend a warm welcome to each and every one of you who have gathered here with a shared purpose to gather and gain a deeper understanding of potential new legislation that may significantly impact our state, Oregon, and the rest of the country. Today we have the privilege of hearing from Senator Ron Wyden, an esteemed advocate in our ongoing endeavor for accessible reproductive health care. Senator Wyden will provide valuable insights into important new legislation that carries profound implications for all of us in Oregon. Before we proceed, I want to express my heartfelt gratitude for all of your presence here today and for your unwavering support of Planned Parenthood, Southwest Oregon. Your commitment during this critical juncture in reproductive health care access is truly invaluable. And with that, it's my honor to introduce Senator Ron Wyden.
Thank you. What an inflationary introduction. Great to be home, great to be with all of you, and you do not need to be Perry Mason to know that it is fundamentally unfair for a special interest group to be able to play hopscotch with American courts in search of one biased judge who's predisposed to rule for them. Our country saw that particularly in the unfair judge shopping scheme this year in Amarillo, Texas. Amarillo is a town in the Texas Panhandle, a couple hundred thousand residents, and it's in that town, well outside the list of the biggest cities, where anti-abortion activists traveled, they had to travel, before they could find a Trump-appointed judge with a long history of anti-abortion views. Now, the extremists seized on that opportunity to file a case with that one judge challenging the long-standing FDA approval of mifepristone, a safe and effective abortion medication. And this is particularly important because the bulk of the instances now where people are looking for safe, effective abortion medication, those are 60% of the cases. And I knew that when I held, many years ago, the first hearings on that safe and effective alternative. And in the recent instance, when you had these anti-abortion activists allowed to judge shop, put forth an illegitimate case in front of one judge 1,700 miles from here, access to a safe and effective medication would affect nationwide, the choices women had. No single judge ought to have that kind of power. I just don't think, you know, we have these fancy stores, people go shopping at these fancy stores at Neiman Marcus. I don't think powerful interest groups ought to be shopping for judges like somebody looking at Neiman Marcus for an outfit that helps particularly look good. Because we know that the anti-abortion radicals aren't going to stop clawing back control of women's bodies until they get their friendly extremist judges to roll back these rights, we're going to have to deal with this challenge. And here in my wonderful community where I went to law school, I've got legislation to do it. Now, my Fair Courts Act would make it more difficult for these anti-abortion activist plaintiffs to go out and seek out specific judges, and requires cases seeking a nationwide relief to be heard by at least a three-judge panel. That begins to balance the scales of American justice. And, you know, there's hundreds of these single district court judges, scores of them, and to create havoc for all of Americans because they want to inflict their notion of an ideological remedy and right. My legislation builds a much-needed safeguard against special interests filing cases that they know are going to be heard by politically motivated judges to further extremist agendas they can't achieve through the political process. And as I say, there are hundreds of these regional judges, so this issue has enormous implications. No longer would one judge be able to willfully upend federal laws and regulations nationwide, causing havoc for millions of Americans with the stroke of a pen. Now, I'm a proud graduate from the U of O Law School, not far from here. I will admit that I am a lawyer in name only. I do know that much greater legal minds than myself think that this is not a far-fetched idea that I'm proposing. In fact, it was a requirement for cases like this until relatively recently, and it's still the law in certain cases, such as redistricting. So, I'm going to put on a full court press for the legislation to ensure that the Congress carries out its responsibilities, its constitutional responsibilities, to act as a check on overreach by the court on reproductive health choices in America. I thank my friends today for putting together the meeting. I think, Amy, you're going to coordinate things, and really appreciate it. Who's going to go?
Sometimes feel like I'm just the eye candy, which just must be devastating for all of you. Thank you, Senator Wyden, for being here today, especially your tireless dedication to supporting the work carried out by Planned Parenthood. I'd now like to welcome Amy Handler, interim president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Southwest Oregon. She's going to provide us with an important perspective on the implication of these potential legislative changes, particularly as they pertain to access to gender-affirming and women's health care.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. I want to take a quick minute to thank our board members who are in attendance, Bethany Grace Howe, who's emceeing the event, Timmy Thomas, Neff Powell, and Deb Sherrick, and also to our PPAO board member, Margaret Halleck, who's also in attendance. And much big thanks to our elected officials, Lori Trieger and Senator Ron Wyden, for your attendance today, but really for continuing to stand with Planned Parenthood of Southwestern Oregon through some of our most difficult years for abortion access in our almost 60-year history. So I'm Amy Handler. I'm the interim president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Southwestern Oregon. I use she, her pronouns. And at PPSO, we know all too well that what happens in Florida, Mississippi, and especially in Texas does not stay there. We've felt the decisions from courts across the country right here behind these very doors. Last summer, when the conservative U.S. Supreme Court overturned over 50 years of precedent by gutting Roe versus Wade in the Dobbs decision, we felt the impact almost immediately. Just 8 weeks later, by September of 2022, we had seen across Oregon patients from every single state with an abortion ban. Every single state. In under a year, our rural corner of the world, in Eugene and Medford and Ashland and Grants Pass, we've seen patients from Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Kentucky, Missouri, Mississippi, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, and Wisconsin. We've seen overflow patients from California, from Portland, and from Washington. We knew that the Dobbs decision would embolden the anti-choice extremists, and we've seen this group hand-pick their judges to advance extreme legislation in extreme cases with the goal of restricting and outlawing abortion nationwide. This is why we are so grateful to have allies like Senator Ron Wyden, who see the big picture and who understand the importance of protecting the integrity of our judicial system so that we can protect access to essential reproductive health care, including abortion, here in Oregon. It's truly disturbing that all the quote-unquote harm that is related to abortion keeps happening in Amarillo, Texas, a county that doesn't even have an abortion clinic. A county that didn't have an abortion clinic before Texas outlawed abortion in 2021. Anti-choice groups are pushing case after case before this judge in Amarillo. Judge Kaczmarek, a man who has made it his life's work to advance the anti-choice agenda. Judge Kaczmarek was appointed to the court in 2019 by former President Trump. He's former legal counsel to the Liberty Institute, a deeply conservative law firm that fought against the birth control mandate and tried to allow insurance companies to decide if they would cover contraception. He's made it clear he is anything but impartial. He's been deeply outspoken on his opposition to abortion and deeply outspoken against LGBTQIA+ rights. Since 2019, conservatives have brought case after case after case to Amarillo, looking for a decision not based on merit, not based on fact, but based on political alignment from Judge Kaczmarek. The recent and ongoing case regarding the use of mifepristone in the Alliance for Hippocratic Method versus the FDA is no different. The Alliance for Hippocratic Method is an anti-choice group based in Tennessee. They incorporated their organization in Amarillo, Texas, just months before they filed this case. This is clear judge shopping. This meritless case was designed to create chaos and confusion. It was designed to raise questions on the safety of mifepristone. Mifepristone is a two-pill regimen that's used in abortions and miscarriages before 12 weeks and has been used by millions of people for over 20 years. In 2016 and again in 2020, the FDA continued to approve and advance mifepristone for use in later gestational ages because of mifepristone's safety profile. Mifepristone is safer than Tylenol. Events of the last year, including this case, have underscored the urgency of addressing this alarming practice of judge shopping at the federal level. The case brought before Judge Kaczmarek was not grounded in science or fact, and has put people across the country at risk of losing access to life-saving medication overnight. We could feel the implications of a Texas judge's decision right here in Oregon. In the days after Judge Kaczmarek's decision, conservative U.S. Supreme Court granted a minor victory by temporarily preserving nationwide access to mifepristone with a stay. The mifepristone case is set to return to the Fifth Circuit, making this stay from SCOTUS far from a conclusive resolution. We believe there's likely a multi-year fight ahead of us to ensure mifepristone remains on the market and accessible across the country. We must recognize that even with the stay, millions of individuals throughout the United States currently lack access to life-saving abortion care because of all of the harmful abortion bans. While we are relieved that science and common sense prevailed temporarily, we should never be in a position where anti-choice extremists are able to shop around for judges to decide whether people can get safe, effective medicines like mifepristone. It's imperative that we take decisive action to curb this dangerous practice of judge shopping and safeguard the rights and well-being of those seeking reproductive health care. This isn't just about abortion. Judge shopping could have effects on every aspect of our lives. This isn't about health care or bodily autonomy. Anyone with a political or religious perspective could bring a case in front of a sympathetic judge and alter the lives of people across the country in any number of ways. While abortion is safe right now, if we allow this to continue, who's to say they won't try to take antidepressants off the market, or birth control, or even expand gun access? We stand firmly behind Senator Wyden's new legislation to address the dangerous practice of judge shopping. We understand how decisions made by a single judge in Texas have far-reaching consequences for the lives of individuals across the country and for us here in Oregon. This case made it abundantly clear that we could be impacted, where our community has affirmed time and time again that we believe in access to safe, effective medications like mifepristone. We believe that abortion should be legal, and we believe in gender-affirming care. So with that, thank you, Senator Wyden, for all of your continued work and commitment. No matter what happens, we will continue to welcome patients with compassion and care here at Planned Parenthood Southwestern Oregon, and we're going to continue to support Senator Wyden's efforts to address the dangerous practice of judge shopping. Thank you again for your continued support, Senator Wyden, and your work to restore integrity to our judicial system.
She's just as good at board meetings. Thank you, actually, Amy, for your analysis of the potential impacts of judge shopping on reproductive health care. I would now like to introduce Lori Trier, an esteemed Lane County Commissioner, to offer some concluding thoughts.
Thank you, Bethany. Thank you, everyone. Good afternoon. Lori Trier, representing District 3 on the Lane County Board of Commissioners, she, her pronouns. My path as an advocate and activist for abortion access started more than 40 years ago at a clinic in Philadelphia. I was 18 years old and had received services at that clinic. And on one of my follow-up visits, I was met with a crowd of dozens of misguided, angry, obstructionist protesters. And that made me angry. But it also inspired me to step up and ensure that others would have access to the same services that I had had without fear or intimidation and without being fed misinformation, at least, or at worst, outright lies about their healthcare options. The services I received were life-changing, life-saving, and much needed, and most importantly, were made as private decisions, protected by fair and just laws, enacted by judges who were selected for their integrity, experience, and legal knowledge, period. Fast forward to today, I'm the proud mother of two adult children, the grandparent of twins, and it's my honor and privilege to serve on the Lane County Board of Commissioners. And among other statutory mandates as your commissioner, we are also your public health authority, making it my duty to ensure that everyone in our county has access to the health care they need and deserve, with an emphasis on preventative care. 40 years ago, I had no idea that the fight to protect the full spectrum of reproductive health care would not only be going as strong as it is today and as threatened as it is today, but that it would include needing to combat the kind of political and ideological undermining of our judicial system that the senator is here to talk with us about today. Any human right that takes effort to attain, takes effort to protect and preserve, and I am deeply grateful to all of you, to Planned Parenthood of Southwest Oregon, and to Senator Ron Wyden for his decades of effort and his willingness to always be out in front with a relentless and focused commitment to this critical issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Trieger. We sincerely appreciate your presence here today. And with that, we will conclude this portion of our event. Once again, thank you to everyone who attended today to show your support for Senator Wyden and Planned Parenthood in our ongoing efforts to safeguard reproductive access and put an end to the deplorable practice of judge shopping. We do have like a couple of minutes, just maybe for one question, maybe one or two. I was a reporter long enough to know I don't even need to ask. Does anyone have a question?
No.
And I'm also humble enough to know it is not for me.
Is it possible to get a quick one-on-one with the senator and
Jimmy?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Sure.
Just direct mic. So.
Yeah. Well, then let's do that. Okay.
My question is, how can we help? How can we help the senator? How can we help our fellow citizens to preserve what we've got and not let them take anything else away?
Let me be real quick and then turn it over to my colleagues. And I got my roots in activism here in Lane County, working with seniors and the Gray Panthers, and I had a full head of hair and rugged good looks, and was driving Senator Morris around, and seniors would ask questions and began to get a sense of the challenge in healthcare. And I came to the conclusion then, I believe it now, that political change rarely starts in government buildings and then trickles down. Political change is almost always the other direction, grassroots up. And that's why I so appreciate my colleagues and so many Oregonians who feel so strongly about this issue. They're making the phone calls, they're going to rallies, they're sending the texts and the emails and the snail mail. And there's a lot of history here. I don't know if all of you know this, but I was a young congressman, and I held the first hearings on mifepristone. I had a little itty-bitty subcommittee nobody had ever heard of, and we had to fight the Bush administration, George Herbert Walker Bush, and the politicized FDA. And it wasn't until President Clinton got elected in 1992 that the FDA wrote me a letter and said, we're going to do this by book and not by, you know, politics. So the 1992 election, pretty good example. The 1992 election, women's health, was something that we made a big case. We made a grassroots effort. And you had a change of administration. And they said, we're going to let the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, do their work by the book, and the health book, not the, you know, and not the political book, the health and science book. So I appreciate your question. I'm going to turn it over to Amy. We're going to win this at the grassroots. That's how Oregon has always won it, at the legislature. We've got to do it again, because as Amy said, the challenge here is the threat of one judge sitting in Amarillo, Texas, taking steps that could put us in jeopardy. Now, Governor Kotek has already said she's going to try and help and make sure we have mifepristone and the like. So we've got a lot of allies. But make no mistake about it. This is a challenge to us in Oregon. So let's turn it over to Amy.
Thank you, Senator Wyden. So, well, Deb, first of all, you're going to get a front row seat. You're doing the best work by being a board member and helping us steward this incredible organization and all the work that we do. You're definitely going to get tired of hearing from us with all of the different asks, whether it's showing up, whether it's writing our legislators, whether it's supporting a specific bill or some other way that we're advocating for reproductive health care. So you're gonna have a very much a front row seat to the involvement and to that grassroots activism that Senator Wyden talked about. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. For reporters afterwards, we're going to be one-on-ones with Senator Wyden, and we'll just set up in the shade.
Wallin calls the system inverted totalitarianism, in that he means that, like the late Roman Republic, you still have the facade. You have the iconography, the language, the institutions of an open society, of a democratic state, but internally, corporations have seized all of the levers of power to render the citizen impotent. And of course, what that does, anytime a cabal seizes power, whether it's monarchical, communist, fascist, corporate, is and redirects all of the systems of government and institutions towards their own empowerment and enrichment, then you get a form of political paralysis. The political system seizes up. It no longer responds to the rights and legitimate grievances of the citizenry, and in fact extracts more and more and more out of a population that is already under deep distress. And of course, that is what has happened, and that's one of the reasons why it's important to get out to places like Indiana, or I write out of Scranton, Pennsylvania, where the city went bankrupt or almost went bankrupt, and they had to sell off all of their utilities, their sewer system. This is not uncommon throughout deindustrialized centers in the United States. And of course, corporations buy it up and then jack up the prices. And these are, I think it's in the book, but I can't remember the average per capita income per family is like $40,000 a year or something in Scranton, not much. And so you're extracting more and more and more from a population that has less and less and less. And that is the process. I mean, Trump has, of course, turbocharged the kleptocracy, but it was there before he came in. And so what we're facing and what we're producing and what's ahead of us is the inevitable collapse of the American empire. All of the warning signs that have brought down other empires throughout history are flashing red within the American empire. And I'll just tick a few of those off. One is the political paralysis, the inability of the system to address the injustices, the economic deprivation, the loss of rights of the population, and in fact, to make it worse. The other, of course, is something that even Bernie Sanders doesn't like to talk about, and that is the bloated militarism and imperialism that is hollowing the country out from the inside. So you have now 17 years of warfare in the Middle East. There's a term, I don't know if people have read, Alfred McCoy wrote a good book, I think it's called This American Century. He's a great historian. But he talks about what he calls micro-militarism. It's a term that historians use. And what it is that late empires inevitably overreach. They carry out acts of military folly in an effort to recapture a lost power. For instance, in the Athenian Empire, they invade Sicily. Their entire fleet is sunk. Thousands of soldiers are killed, and the empire unravels. There are revolts throughout the empire. Or you look at the slow decline of the British Empire, which really began at the end of World War I, but culminated in 1956 when Nasser nationalizes the Suez Canal, and the British attempt to invade, and going back to Sacco's book, the Israelis take over Gaza for 100 days and carry out wholesale massacres, which is what his book is about, Footnotes in Gaza. And Eisenhower will not support them, largely because he won't give them credit to carry out this act of military adventurism, and they retreat in humiliation. And then what happens is the pound sterling is dropped as the world's reserve currency. And that, of course, is the death blow of the American empire, which is going to happen one day. Once the dollar is no longer the reserve currency, the economy seizes up. Imports become phenomenally expensive. We can't live off of the sale of treasury bonds because nobody wants them. And you can look at what happened to the British economy in the 50s if you want to know what's coming. And so you have a situation where you're squeezing your population harder and harder and harder for less and less and less. And this is a characteristic, with Joseph Taner writes about it in his great study, The Collapse of Complex Societies, where he looks at, I think it's 24 different civilizations, but he talks about that final moment when the elites retreat to the equivalent of the Forbidden City or Versailles, or in our country, it's what a writer in The New Yorker called Richistan, which means you fly on private jets and you never have any contact at all with anybody who doesn't make a few million dollars a year. And so they have no connection with the reality. And they squeeze, in this case, of course, it's through debt peonage. You know, they've borrowed all these banks, all Goldman Sachs, which is a criminal organization. Goldman Sachs, all of these corporations were able to borrow from the Fed trillions of dollars. I mean, there's various numbers, 4 or 7, and at virtually 0% interest. But it does have to be paid back. And so how's it paid back? It's extracted from us. That's $1.4 trillion in student debt. That is, you're late on your credit card, it's 28%. That is, you know, even if you have health insurance, as anyone who has it can tell you, the costs keep rising astronomically in terms of copay, what they don't cover, what the pharmaceutical industry, which can jack up our, you know, the Mylon, but that's just one of many examples in the EpiPen. So you're extracting more and more from a population. And how do you deal with this kind of calcification or failed democracy? And that is that at the same time you strip citizens of their rights. You reinterpret constitutional rights. You overturn them by judicial fiat. So, for instance, with Citizens United, which allows the Koch brothers to control with dark money or Sheldon Adelson, these figures, our elections, it becomes the right to petition the government or a form of free speech. This is how Citizens United is justified. Edward Snowden exposes the fact that we are the most surveilled, watched, monitored, eavesdropped population in human history. And I covered the Stasi state in East Germany. And of course, nothing is done to restore the constitutional right of privacy.
the Lord. And all attractions were a bore. They led me back to you. Uniforms were an allergy. Never felt quite right to me. The conjured wartime Germany. And God knows we need that. Temptation bounties will never know. The time when my morale was low. The circumstances always show. The place was yours or mine. soul is laid down the law. One thing you cannot ignore, the bad boys can come clean. Emotions I could not control illuminate my heart and soul. I saw a light, I scored a goal, and what pride.